review, we've been studying doors, and we learned that Jesus is the door. He is the door to God, and attempting entrance any other way, he likens you to a thief and a robber. And we talked about the doors of our mouths, which are our lips, and are the things that are coming out of those doors pleasing to God. Then we talked about Satan's doors, which ironically is the doors of his face are his mouth. And the question was, is what's coming out of his doors entering into these passageways, audibly or inaudibly, in our lives? Last week we talked about hell's doors and her gates and her bars and who has the keys to there and who shares those keys and who he shares those keys with and who's getting locked up and who's being out for a while and put back in and what happens to the whole shooting match at the end. Today we're going to close out this little mini-series on doors with what I think is some good practical application of doors, especially for this church body and where she is in her history right now. And today I want to talk about doors of opportunity. Doors of opportunity. I'm not sure if you noticed, but the gospel doesn't get out on its own. And make no mistake, the scriptures are clear that God has commissioned each and every one of his children to get that message of the gospel out. By prayer, by purse, and in person. And so if you and I are right with God, and we long to be like Jesus Christ, and we're interested in pleasing him, and interested in the things he's interested in, and disdaining the things he disdains, the propagation of the gospel is going to be a priority in our life, in prayer, in purse, and in person. Some will emphasize they'll be better at one area. Some will emphasize other areas according to their ability. Some will just get all in on all three, just arrested by the commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Some are more apt to do it through their local church, which I think is God's design, while some are just gospel machines. If they're not saying it, they're wearing it. Man, you're pretty bold to wear that. I wear it because I'm not bold. So they're going to get it whether I chicken out or not. Amen? If they're not posting it, they're putting it on a bumper sticker or a yard sign or a street corner. In other words, there's some that you are not going to get in their space and walk away without knowing God wants a relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. And should you decide to go through what I'll call the evangelism door, the Bible will help you navigate that door. The Bible will help you with what to expect and thus properly prepare for that door of opportunity. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's learn about these doors so we're not surprised when we find out what happens when we go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual, that means I get what I need to go through it, is opened unto me. I want you to get this. And there are many adversaries. And truth be told, and in my observations, 90% that attempt to go through that door stop right there. Adversity. When God told them by precept and through example in the book of Acts and what we read, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, it's more than skirts on the girls and haircuts for the boys. It's the propagation of the gospel, and you're going to suffer when you go through that door because there's going to be what? Many adversaries. You think the prince of darkness is just going to sit back and let you permeate the kingdom of darkness with the light of Jesus Christ and watch? It's not going to happen. It landed Jesus Christ on the cross. It landed John headless. It landed Paul and Peter in prison. I mean, we've got a Bible. We have the truth. And yet we venture out excited to go through this door. And we hand a tract and somebody rolls their eyes and we just can't believe it. Or we get really bold and stand on a street corner and somebody puts a finger up at us and, honey, grab the children. This is no place for a Christian. I'm telling you, you want to go through this door of opportunity, you better expect adversaries. So that when they come and when you face adversity, rather than being shocked and shackled, the Bible comes true. And what was the devil intended to hinder you will actually embolden you. So you don't say, I can't believe it that they responded so negatively. You'd say, wow, I believe it even more now that they responded so negatively. You better expect adversity if you go through that door. Colossians chapter 4, number 2. How to navigate these doors. You got to pray for them. You got to pray for doors of opportunity. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray that God would give me an open door to open my what? Doors. Most modern warfare campaigns, we're seeing it as we speak this morning, begin with an aerial attack. Bombardment to clear the way for the ground troops, if you will. And it's no different with adversaries to the gospel. And I wonder, when's the last time you prayed for an open door? And if we're not praying for it, it's no wonder we're not going through them. In fact, Paul there, he didn't even say for you to pray for an open door. He said, pray we'd have an open door. When's the last time you prayed for Damon or Beth or Reese or our guys, Adam and Ted and Doug? When's the last time you prayed? Lord, open doors for them. Boy, not a lot going on over there. Can this old man reminisce a little bit? Young guys talk about what they're going to do. Middle-aged guys talk about what they're doing. Old guys talk about what they did. When I was in the secular workforce, I would not leave the house without praying that God would open doors. For the people that I worked with, give me a door. Lord, open a door. And you know what it did? It heightened my awareness. Because I was praying for a door, and then when I went there expecting, then I was looking for a door. I carpet bombed before I left the house, building 29 at the Eastman Kodak Company, before I put my boots on for the ground assault. And I got to tell you, every day was an adventure. It was a riot. How'd you do? Not too good. If you count success the way we count it. But if you count it, I mean, I got some. I got three solid ones that are still with it. I got two more. Not sure if they're serving. But I'll tell you what. They're without excuse. Why would God let a little child burn up in the fire? You started it, right? There happened to be 20 people behind him. Let's go. Let's play ball. Bing, that light will go. That's what you prayed for today. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, and I always hesitate because I am a nice guy. But there don't seem to be a lot of business going on at these altars like there used to be. And I'll tell you why it's depressing, because I'm thinking, well, it must be a reflection of what they're hearing. Nothing from me, not. My wife's going to a place tomorrow and where I'm going to be next week. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but this preacher says, you don't respond to what the Holy Spirit says to you, you're just not right with God. And no wonder they're 10 deep every service. And that, you know, that might not be so, but the pastor talked about commitments. You know what altars are for? Commitments. Before adversity comes. Making decisions right now. I am responding to what you just told me in my heart before I get up and there be many adversaries. Decisions. Altars are for decisions. Or aren't we making decisions anymore? And if we aren't, what are we doing here? If we're not growing, and I don't care if you've been saved 100 years, what are we doing here? Let me tell you, this world needs us right now. Are we getting used to church? Has entertainment and social media and fantasy sports so numbed us that we are past feeling? Can the old man reminisce some more? Thank you. We used to walk both ways uphill. No, but when I started out, you could mop the floor, and I'll be dignified because I'm getting old now, of the tears and the nasal fluid that would be at the altars in some of those meetings we were in. Amen, Brother Jay? I mean, two men getting called to Africa at opposite ends of the altar the same night. I was in a meeting, a man was so broken over what he heard. And he had regrets about a hasty medical decision about childbearing. I'll just put it that way. Just broken. Came back from that altar and told me what God told him. And I said, what'd you say? So I just said, if you make a way, it's expensive. I said, I'm in for $1,000. Let me tell you something. When this cat is reaching in his pocket for $1,000 and it's not going through the offering plate, you know God's opening doors. Where to start? At an altar. Well, I just don't believe in, I believe in going in the closet and shutting the door. I do too, but there's more than that in the Bible. Rooms didn't shake when people were in the closet. Rooms shook when the saints were in the church. I'm convinced before the evangelism door can open, another door needs to be shut. Matthew chapter 6. We okay? Good. Familiar verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy, what are we studying? Door. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. See, the door of prayer to open doors is the preemptive strike to the adversity waiting when we get up and open that door that we just shut behind us. You ever pray for that? You ever pray for an open door? You know what he said is, you study this Bible and it just, you decide to study on doors and all of a sudden all these verses open up that you could quote, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. You know where that is? That's in that closet you went in. You shut the one door. You open these doors. He opens his doors. And then he says, all right, you're ready now. Go out. I have an open door for you. expect adversaries. I challenge you, and if you don't do it here, do it home. Pray for doors of opportunity. Everybody wants to do something big, and it doesn't work that way. Pentecost was preceded by prayer. Expect adversaries. Pray for doors of opportunity. Number three, when God opens the door, step in. Two things that drive me crazy. And I got to put a shout out to my son-in-law that did that family school this morning, because if that was one of me and the previous pastor, we'd have been having strokes and heart attacks right on the floor, man. He just kind of smooth, if I don't have my notes, shoot me in the head right now. Praise the Lord for these young people that want what they grew up with. Amen? That wasn't loud enough. They're going to leave. Amen? So maybe there's three things, but the other two things, and if this is as bad as I ever get, I suppose I'm doing all right, is bare feet on my hardwood floors and flies in the house. One fly in the house will ruin my day. Especially this time of year, the big, slow, loud, hairy ones with that green shine on them. Because some places I've been is where those kind show up. And now I'm trying to study. You think this thing's a helicopter. And they get you. Because another thing I don't like is spots on the walls. Well, if you spot, I go to war. I got 5 fly swatters placed in. And if you get them the way you want to get them, you're going to spoil the paint. So I try to kind of get around it, and then you miss. This, you know, I got those security cameras. I got all these grandkids running around. I like to see what's going on. And so we're sitting there one day this past summer. My grandkids are out there, and I'm just, don't let the flies out. Close the door. Don't let the flies out. Why do you say don't let the flies out? Because I'm trying to build a little humor in myself so I don't kill them. Don't let the flies out. So I'm looking at the security camera, and here's one of the beautiful grandchildren, the little angel, standing in the door with the door open in the middle of summer. Those flies, they wait. Standing in the door with the door. Not in, not out. Kind of like some of God's people. Not really in church, but no, not out of church. Not really going through doors, but not backing out of doors. When God opens a door, which we're going to learn in a minute, he has, go in. Acts 17. Verse 16. I love this. I think it was Paul, Mr. Moldova. He was going somewhere, and he ended up in Sweden or one of those places. He said, brother, I saw all those young people, and my heart just got stirred. Look at this, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited, what are you doing while you're waiting? For them at Athens, his spirit was, and that's not the Holy Spirit, by the way, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city holy, given to idolatry. Are we bothered by what we are seeing? Look at verse 22. I won't go through all those verses. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that all things ye are too superstitious, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, and you're just a bunch of no good, dirty, rotten heathen worshiping. Let me tell you, he didn't say that. Watch the savvy. To the unknown God, wherefore ye ignorantly worship him. I did come and tell you about this one right here. One of your poets, he knew Greek poetry? Paul had some knowledge of the world around him. He wasn't worldly, kind of like Moses. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had boldness, he had God, and he had people skills. And God opens it, and he's waiting, and he's watching, and he's looking, and God opens a door, and he goes right through. Parents, this aside, this is free. Teach your kids people skills. I made my kids, well, you don't understand, but they used to have these things called telephones. They were on the wall. I made my kids answer them when they were 10 years old. Camillary residence, this is Jenna speaking. How may I help you? Dad, I got to schedule this thing. Call them up. Dad, call them up. You got to learn to talk to people. People skills as a parent. Because this world is in desperate need. I'll tell you, and it's easy today. Just be normal. Parents, be aware of your kids and say, God, would you use my kids to open a door? Be aware. Look at, when they're 9, they grew out of these pants, okay? We've had people come to our Christmas concerts. Now, they don't get saved. They don't come back. You need to bring these kids down to Washington, D.C. and show them what can be had. Praise the Lord. Listen, if your family is rare and refreshing, you won't believe what kind of doors the Lord can open. It opened the planting of this church. The planting of this church. I've been preaching, I don't know how many years down in Florida, 25 years. To a mixed multitude. You got lost, you got saved, you got Presbyterian, you got Bible believers, you got non-Bible believers. Why? Because girls, you're going to sing. Why? It opens doors. It opens doors I can't open. And after 25 years, you know what's going to happen? You say, are you bragging? No, I'm testifying. They're all coming down there with their families. And after we leave our little resort church, the 150 that are in there, and I preach, because they ain't getting them without me, they're invited to like a big, gigantic church down there. Churches in Florida are big. How did they end up with 70,000 followers on Instagram? Of course, not as many as I got, but not on Instagram. You know how they got there? A piano in an airport that didn't have a sign on it that said, don't touch this. And Brother Jay taught me that. Girls, is that a piano? Get your violins out, girls. Amazing. Yay. What are you doing? Looking for doors. And they walk away and say, wow, that was cool. Anybody get saved? No. But a door was open, a door of utterance. God will use your family. Lord, open doors with my family. And that's really what this ministry has been all about. And I know I'm going to hear some grunts and groans coming from this preacher first, but that's what Assist was all about. Every year we say, don't you miss the air show? Oh, yeah, I miss it bad. Anybody get saved? I don't know, but I'll tell you what. A door of utterance was open, brother. And Christmas concerts and mall singings and air shows and parades and missions trips and street corners. What are you doing? Looking for doors. I don't want to lose that. Revelation 3. This, if you don't get nothing else, get this one. Revelation chapter 3. Oh, if there's ever a time to pray for doors. I think the world is ripe with all that's going on. I can't remember, one of you told me. No, somebody, you, Bill, you testified the other night. Person that wouldn't give them the time of day. They see what's going on in this world. You know what they're saying? Maybe I'll give you an ear after all. Are you ready? Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 27. When they were come and had gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Listen, the gospel door has already been opened. That verse is not saying, well, yeah, you got to understand the macro door, aren't I smart? The macro door has already been opened. We pray for micro doors and opportunities on a daily basis. Jesus Christ already opened the door, or he wouldn't have said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'll tell you who the biggest adversary is. It's not the outside enemy, it's the inside enemy. You know what it says? He opened the door of faith. I'm just waiting for an open door. How about gather up some faith and go through the one that's already been opened? How about, you said ye shall be witnesses unto me, and lo, I'm with you always. I'll take that and go through a door. When God gives to me, I'll give. That's backwards. Give and it shall be given unto you. My heart's not in it. When my heart gets in it, then I'll put my purse in for the reaching of world evangelism. You got it backwards. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Your heart follows the treasure. You're going to go through doors of opportunity. Expect adversities. Pray for open doors. He's already opened the main one. And lastly, Acts 16. Now when they had gone... Verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Listen, if he opens the door and no man can shut it, and he shuts the door and no man can open it, and if I'm wrong on this, I'd rather be wrong on this side of the ditch than the other side. Why not go through a door and ask him to shut it? If it's not his will, instead of waiting around for him to open the, what are you waiting for? A voice? You want a voice? Go through the door. Here, you just got a voice. He said, knock and it shall be open. Now, you got to walk with God on this. Paul got himself in a little bit of trouble because he kind of pushed, but I don't think that's most of the time our problem. You must see a need for doors. And that's when you begin to pray, and that's when you begin to get a burden, and that's when you'll be able to make a way and say, Lord, if you don't want it, shut it. Let me illustrate. Raising nine children in a home, and I understand master bathroom. That means the bedroom where the parents sleep has its own bathroom. I understand it's a luxury. We didn't have that. And it can make things kind of inconvenient for the parents. that have to walk out into the hallway to go to the bathroom and walk back. I know. We're not talking about going through the tribulation here, but, you know, it's just with 9 kids running around. When you're younger, for some reasons, it's inconvenient. When you're older, for other reasons, it's inconvenient. But I got a vision one day for the, and I'm not talking about a spooky vision, an idea, for the next best thing to a master bath, because our bedroom butts to the bathroom. I wonder if I could make a door right here. Now, electric is out of my league, anything more than just wiring up a switch. So I got my Sawzall, and I went down below. There's no wires in there. And I cut a door in there. And I got to tell you, for the last 25 years, that door has been a blessing. I used it a couple times again last night. But it never would have been without a vision to see, you know what? If we had a door here, things would be better. We've housed many strangers over the years in our basement, some stranger than others. We finished it down there, figuring certainly when our children got married, they would want to live with us. Hashtag not. So as the family door closed, we started to bring strangers in. But it brought an inconvenience, namely that the strangers had to come up through our kitchen to come and go. There was no access. So one day, and I don't know if it was Roy Fowlin there or Austin Zander there, or the Dan Reed, I don't know who it was, I can't remember. But Brother Schweiner, he said, you know, if you dug away the dirt from the side of this house, oh yeah, just dig away the dirt, yeah. I got a diamond saw blade that'll fill a great need. We could cut a hole and make a door. Well, that got my door wheels turning. I'm picturing a door and how it would meet a need. I couldn't sit there and say, oh, I wish that door would open. Can I say thank you to Melina? I don't know if there was 40, 50, 60 last night. Because a girl that goes to university just wants to see a door open. To reach the needs of young people lost and saved. So I got some advice. I love you, Paul, but he wants to come and cut a hole in the side of my foundation. And I talked to Ackley. Hi, if you're watching. He said, well, you're messing with your foundation. He goes, let's dig the dirt away. I'll never forget it. This is a monolithic pour. This is a monolithic pour. This is, okay, I heard you, man. Just pour it, you know. And we got a backhoe, and we got a dozer, Mark Maurizio, and I moved dirt for months. We had to redo these drains that were already in the ground, and Ackley said, leave it for a year and watch it to make sure you didn't mess with that foundation. And we did. And the next year, Paul came over with that saw. Lots of help. Filthy job. Had to get the dirt out of the way. Had to clean up the rubble. Very expensive. Why do you think they call them diamond blades? I think I still owe them for that. There'll be a crown in the kingdom for you, brother. What a blessing that open door has been. I don't have Zach Matice is coming up through my kitchen. It filled a need. Open doors, and I couldn't wait for someone else to do it. I couldn't dream up a vision. I said, you know what? I might be able to put a door here. And I was very, very cautious and particular and took a lot of advice and counsel to make sure I didn't mess it up. But we went through the door. One thing that's always bothered me about that basement, it's a basement. And the door's on one, and when I had the vision that my kids were going to certainly all want to live with me when they married, you know, you got those little casement windows, just a little square 3x1 window. I knocked some blocks out, and I put, just in case they had to get out, but there was still, that end was plugged in. It was, if there was a fire in the wrong place, what a way to go. And so we cut that door in, but it still bothered me because there's a bedroom in the back. And right above that is my coal stove. So if there's a fire in between, ooh, there's no getting out. So here's what dawned on me. Especially when I got the reverse thinking of my kids moving in, now that I'm older, I thought, you know, maybe I can sell this house to the kids and then we can live with them down there. Again, hashtag not. But I said, this is really bothering me. We need a door. Well, it's called an egress window, which is basically a window that acts as a door in the event of an emergency. And I went on Craigslist, kids ask your parents what that was, and found me a brand new egress window, $200, and it sat in my shed for 2 years. You say why? I was scared. Ackley moved away. I done dulled Paul's blade. No help this time. And for 2 years, it was close to, it was the foundation, it was close to the edge. The water comes in. You don't want open air where your water for your house comes in. But eventually, one day, I took that tractor and I cut that dirt away. And I got my own blade this time. And I made a mess, and I took risks, but you know why I did it? Man, I don't want somebody burning up in here. We need a door. Colossians chapter 1. I don't want to be braggadocious and I don't want to be prideful, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut a door and let the Lord tell me to stop. Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Many. I love that. 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, this is the Apostle Paul, listen, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In layman's terms, I did my part. I did all that I could do so nobody burns up in that place. By what? Making a door. I think the world is on edge right now. And we've got answers. You know, it all ends over there where they're starting. Doors of opportunity. Jesus has already opened the macro door of the gospel. Have you asked him to open some micro doors for you? And then you better add this one. Take it from me. And when he does open, would you say, Lord, would you give me the faith to go through it? And when you leave your prayer closet in the morning, you'll go and you'll be watching daily. Why? Because they're going to burn if we don't get them through that door. Lord, use me.
I'm getting ready to go through a big door in my life.
And for about 2 years, I thought, oh man, when I go through that door, oh. But I'm bothered. You know, we went down that little place we have in Florida for 25 years, and we were the young people. Everybody had the white hair, we had the dark hair. And we were like the little family, look at how cute, and I love the old people. You know, that great generation, they were awesome. You know what hit me last year? The retirees got tattoos and bones in their noses now. And at first I said, I don't know if I like this. But I'll tell you what I got here. God opened a door. My generation without hope and without God. How about you? Let's stand.